And I like life and I like living, but heaven is better than this. Amen. We had a great, great time last night with the singles. And I want to thank Brother and Sister Bacon and Sister Hart for having us and inviting us to be part of that. A wonderful meal and a banquet setting and great, great fellowship. And that's what heaven's going to be. Amen. Food, fellowship, but most of all, Jesus. Amen. I've made the observation before, it always a little interesting to me. A lot of folks want to go to heaven but won't even go to church. I don't get that. That doesn't register with me. This is what it's about. It's about worship. It's about singing. It's about praise. And guess what? Same people that's going up there is the ones in here.
Yes, sir.
So if you can't get along with them in here, I don't think we'll have to worry too much about going up there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Heaven's going to be better than this. Amen. All right. Okay, our kids can, and upper room youth, you can go ahead and go to your classes right now. Amen. This is the great Exodus. Amen. And it's great. Amen. I love this when all these young people and children anxiously get into their classes. Amen. Because they want to be a part of something special on their own level. Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you for remaining. Amen. It would be lonely up here without you. So thank you for being here tonight. If you'd like to stand, I'm turning to the book of Corinthians, the second Corinthian letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 3 through verse 5. Paul is writing these wonderful words to the Corinthian brethren. He said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." In other words, we're human beings, but we don't fight as human beings in our spiritual warfare. We're in a body, but this body cannot war against spirits. So we have to have a different kind of warfare and a different kind of weapons. Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the weapons of our warfare. We are in a battle tonight. One songwriter said, "It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room." Amen. Some people got so much entertainment on their mind, they're surprised when life's the tussle. But I'm telling you, it's a battle that we're involved in. And you're going to be involved in it whether you want to or not, whether you serve God or not. Amen. But I don't know about you, but when I fight, I like to win. Amen. So we're going to get with it here tonight, and we're going to learn that we have some weapons. And they're mighty through God. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Our battle is a spiritual battle. And if Satan has convinced you that there's no such thing as a devil, he's got you already. You're already whooped. Amen. Or if he's convinced you he's like hot stuff. I don't know if anybody knows who Hot Stuff is, but there used to be a little comic called Hot Stuff. It was a little devil, and he was a cute little guy. little chubby, had a little forked tail and horns, and he's always getting in trouble. Amen. And, but that's not the way the devil is. He doesn't wear a red costume, and he doesn't have horns. He doesn't have a forked tail, but he does have a forked tongue. Amen. He can't tell the truth no matter what he does, because the Bible said the truth is not in him. Amen. And he is here to tear up everything that God has built. Amen. And so we are in a spiritual battle. Sometimes we're weary and we don't know why we're weary. It's because you're fighting a spiritual battle. Amen. Sometimes church is glorious. Sometimes it's a little difficult because you're fighting a spiritual battle. Amen. We are in a war here. Amen. There are three kinds of spirits that exist. There, of course, is God is a spirit. God is, the Bible said, God is spirit. That's his essence. That's what God is. And he is an omnipresent spirit. He's everywhere. Amen. He's an omnipotent spirit. He has all power. He's an omniscient spirit. He knows all things. He's an immutable spirit. He cannot change. He's eternal spirit. He had no beginning. He has no ending. And you and I can't figure that out because we're finite and we'll just blow a fuse if we try to figure it out. Because we don't understand eternity. We try, but we have no way of understanding eternity. But God is eternal. There are angels. Angels are godly spirits. Angels were created for God's service. The word angel just simply means messenger. God uses these servants of his, the angels, to carry out his will in different ways. Of course, the Holy Spirit is simply God in a relationship indwelling us. We talk about the Holy Spirit indwelling. Well, that's just God inside. But he is spirit and he is holy. And so that's not a third person. Amen. It's just God in a spiritual essence living inside of human beings to regenerate us and give us life and help us to fight this spiritual battle. There are godly spirits. And then there are evil spirits. Evil spirits are the result of rebellion. The Bible says the devil, his name at that time was Lucifer. He's a created being. God created him. But God gave him a will, just like he gave us. And Lucifer became jealous of God's praise, and he became jealous of God's glory. And he said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. And the Bible said God will not share his glory with another. And so he cast Satan out. And Satan is an evil spirit. He is also very persuasive. One third of the angelic host were deceived by him and were kicked out and destroyed with him. So the devil's mad tonight. Very angry. Because he got caught. He got whooped. Amen. If you tell him to turn around, you'll see a footprint on the seat of his britches where God booted him out of heaven. Amen. And you can always recognize him by the boot prints. Amen. He's a defeated foe, but he's angry. As a matter of fact, his influence is great. He's a liar. And there are people that will listen to him. Lots of people listen to him. In the book of Genesis, he comes as a serpent. In the book of Revelation, he's a great dragon. His influence has grown through the ages. And he becomes powerful and mighty. But let me tell you something about the devil. He's mighty, but he's not almighty. He cannot read your thoughts. He can't get into your mind. He doesn't know what you're thinking. God does. The Bible said God knows every thought. and every word and every deed. The devil cannot read your thoughts. Cannot. So don't give him any power that he doesn't have. I personally don't like to talk about the devil much because I just don't want to give him any attention. I would rather, if I'm going to talk about him at all, just kind of acknowledge something that he may have done, make sure he did it. I don't want to give any credit to him that he didn't deserve. Amen. Sometimes it's just plain old flesh. Amen. That gets us in trouble. But there are evil spirits. And then there's a human spirit. Now the human spirit can be very vile. The human spirit can be very evil. Yes, it can. A lot of things that humans do, they blame on the devil when it wasn't the devil at all. It was just plain old humans. And we have mentioned before the story of Brother Billy Cole called to deliver a young girl from an evil spirit. Her mom said, "Oh, I think my daughter has a devil. Please come pray for her deliverance." And Brother Cole said, "I sure hope she has a devil." And the mother said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, if it's a devil, we'll just cast him out." He said, "But if it's flesh, we'll just have to educate it." You can't cast out flesh. You cannot cast out flesh. That's how you know the difference. When you command in Jesus' name a demon spirit, no matter how strong it is, it has to leave. But if it's plain old flesh, it's not going anywhere. It's going to keep being selfish. It's going to keep being ungodly. It's going to keep being vile and evil. But it's not going anywhere because it's flesh. And you don't have any authority over flesh. And God himself will not violate a human will. He allows you to make decisions. And so it's up to the individual what we want to do. So we deal with those three realms. We have power with God in the heavenlies. So we have influence with godly spirits. We have influence and power through the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus Christ. We have power over evil spirits. But we have no power over the human spirit. Except our own. Except our own. Amen. You do have power over your own spirit if you choose to have power over your own spirit. But it's important. Now, how do I get power of my own spirit? Discipline. Discipline. Nancy Reagan had it right. Just say no. Amen. I'm getting ready to say something I shouldn't say. Just say no. I'm getting ready to do something I shouldn't do. Just say no. I've been thinking I shouldn't think. Just say no. Discipline. 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 That's how you defeat the human spirit. You just have to say no to it over and over and over again. Amen. And so there are three spirits we deal with. Now, Paul is talking here about our spiritual battle, and he talks about our weapons. He says that we walk in the flesh. We live in the human body. But we do not war after the flesh. You cannot defeat spirits in the flesh. You cannot. You have to have a weapon that works against them. And the weapon that works in the heavenlies, the Bible said, we have weapons of warfare, but they're not carnal. They're not fleshly. It says, but they are mighty through God. Now, what are those weapons? The weapons of our warfare are the Word of God, the name of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus Christ. Those are our weapons, and they do work. We're going to speak a little more in length about the Word of the Lord, but the name of Jesus is powerful. The Bible says that because Jesus was obedient, that he received the name that's above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, That's every realm. The heavenly realm, the demonic realm, and the human realm. Everything's going to bow and acknowledge that He's Lord, that He's Master, that He's King of Kings, that He's Lord of Lords. Amen. And so we have a name that has authority. He said, whatsoever you ask in My name, He said, I'll do it. Praise the Lord. He gave us that powerful name, and it's the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's the only name for salvation. It's a name that has healing. It's a name that can remit sins and wash away our transgressions. The name of Jesus. My, what a name. Hallelujah. It works. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The name of Jesus works. Amen. I don't know. You may not believe these stories, but I do. There was a sweet little lady came home from church. There was a man waiting in the weeds, or the bushes. She couldn't see him. He came out, and he began to shoot his gun at her. He was going to hold her up, and she got scared. And so he shot at her several times, and he actually hit her. But she, all the time, she was saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. Now, we know that he hit her because there were holes in her clothes where bullets had gone in. But there were no holes in her body. Now, you figure that one out. Amen. You can say, oh, that's just a story. And you may be right. It may just be. Amen. There's a pastor that in the Philippines. A gorilla shot at him. All he could say was, Jesus! And when he closed his mouth, the bullet stopped right there in his teeth. Amen. Now, you may not believe that either, but I'm telling you, there's power in that name. Amen. There's power in that name. Amen. You had experiences, and I've had experiences where we just said that all we had time to do was say Jesus. Amen. I've had a lot of times driving. Perhaps you have too. And there was, especially in Colombia, the roads were horrific. And I said I wouldn't drive at night, but sometimes you have to. And you don't have any choice. And there's only two lanes and then the mountain, off the side of the mountain. And, you know, you're coming. The bus is coming your direction. Got some, there's nowhere to go. And all you can do is say Jesus. Amen. And it worked every time because we're still here. If it hadn't worked, I don't think we would be. Amen. There's power in that name. Amen. Thank God for the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is so powerful. It works against all sin. Hallelujah. No matter how terrible our sins are, no matter how horrible we were before we came to Jesus and repented of our sins, and we were baptized in His name and His blood was applied, and all of those sins were washed away. That's the power of the blood tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what, when you're being tormented by spirits sometimes, and they'll try to torment you, you just start calling on that name and pleading that blood, and I promise it will go. Hallelujah. Anybody ever tried that? Yes. Amen. Did it work? Amen. It'll work every time. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You may have to pray a while, but you call that name and plead the blood, and every demon will have to flee. Because these weapons work, folks. They work. I remember the testimony of a young man some years ago. He come out of the drug culture. He's doing great. And one day, oh, he was being tried so hard. I mean, the devil was working him over. Temptation was strong. He was walking along the sidewalk, and all he could think about was, man, oh, if I could just score some marijuana. I could get my hands on some weed. Let's get some grass. And all he was thinking about, he was being so tempted. And all of a sudden he said, Lord, me. And he looked up and there was a sign that said, "Keep off the grass." And he said, "Thank you, Lord. You're mindful of us." Amen. So God just sent him a direct message. Keep off the grass. Amen. Stay off of it. Amen. And it worked. Hallelujah. And he stayed delivered and strong. That name works. And the blood works. The Bible said that our weapons are mighty through God. That's what makes it work. That's where the power is. Now the name of Jesus is not like a talisman or a good luck charm or a rabbit's foot. It's not like that. And the blood of Jesus is not some kind of a magical formula or potion. It's not like that. They're mighty, but they're mighty through God. He's what makes them mighty. Amen. If you don't believe the name of Jesus, and it's just a byword for you and a curse word that you use, it's not going to be effective when you pray. But if you have faith in that name, when you call on that name, amen, it's mighty through God. Amen. If you just try to use the blood of Jesus like some kind of a good luck charm, it won't work for you. Amen. It's mighty through God. It'll wash away sins. If you have faith in the name of Jesus when you're baptized, it'll wash your sins away because it's mighty through God. Amen. But we have to understand that. The Bible said it's mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are fortifications or fortresses and castles, things that are fortified and strong and in themselves enabled to be conquered. Amen. But we can pull things down and destroy things. I'm saying to you tonight, there are addictions that can get a hold of human beings that become strongholds. People get themselves into a situation where they're addicted to things. And they don't have any more control because they're powerless. The alcoholic has lost his power to alcohol. Drug addict has lost his power, his will, his strength to drugs, and he can no longer control himself. There are nicotine addictions, and there are perversions and pornography and sexual addiction, all kinds of it, and people allow themselves to be overcome until the Bible says the devil can take them at his will. Because there's a stronghold in their life. But I'm telling you tonight that our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Bible said everything that exalteth itself, he's going to bring it down in that name and through that blood. By his word, there's still power to deliver. I still believe that. How about you? Amen. I don't believe that we have to leave church the same way we came. Amen. I don't believe we have to live life under the bondage of addiction. But I believe God is still in the delivering business. Amen. Hallelujah. Whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. Amen. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not in their sins. Amen. I hear folks saying, "Well, you know, I believe we got to sin a little every day." Wrong. That's why you do, because you believe it. If you'll quit believing it and start believing God and using your weapons, you'll be an overcomer. You can live in victory. You can walk in victory. You can have victory. Amen. God wants us to walk in power and authority, and that we can be overcomers and help others to becomers also. That is the will of God. Amen. To the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible talks about imaginations. You know, your imagination can get you in trouble. Does your imagination ever get carried away? It can. I was sick when I was a little boy. And I was in the room. I was laying in the bed. My back was to the door. I was looking at the wall. Had a little nightlight on so I wouldn't be scared. And all of a sudden, there was a presence in the room. Somebody opened the door. Big old shadow on the wall. I saw a hand lifted up. I was so scared I couldn't say anything. I was laying there waiting to die. And that shadow walked over and reached down. I was waiting for the knife. When my mom said, "Johnny, it's time for your medicine." And she had a little spoonful of something. The imagination will get you, folks. Get you. Amen. Praise God. It'll get you in church. You know, somebody don't say something that you think they ought to say, or look at you like they think they ought to look at you, or look at you like you think they oughtn't to look at you. And if you're not careful, your imagination will get started. You'll think, "Well, what have they got against me? Well, I don't like them either. Never have." And your imagination will get all carried away. And they were looking right through you, not at you, because their mind was on something totally different. But the imagination will do that to us. It'll get us all. The Bible said we got to pull down imaginations. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've had folks write me letters about things I said and preached. Amen. And they not only heard what I said, but they heard what I didn't say. And not only what I didn't say, but what I must have meant. Because their imagination got all carried away. Amen. Folks, when I preach generally, I just mean what I say. That's all. There's no hidden message here. This is it. Amen. You don't have to use your imagination when I preach. It's real simple. Straightforward stuff. Amen. Imagination. But imaginations can get us in trouble. Amen. And I've known folks that got to imagine. I read, what was it? This was today. Some woman hung her dog on a tree. She called him the devil dog, because he ate and tore up her Bible. The dog don't know what a Bible is. It's just a book. He wasn't a devil dog. He was just a dog. But her imagination got carried away. Amen. That's right. It's what the imagination can do. Didn't have anything to do with the devil. It was just a dog tearing up a book. He didn't know. He won't tear up anymore. Now, she may be in trouble. But the dog's fine. Imaginations, boy, they can get carried away. Thoughts. The Bible said every thought, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, why is that so important? It's so important because our thoughts are the inroads to our actions. Sometimes we say, "I did that without thinking." No, you didn't. You really didn't. You did. It might have been a quick thought, but you did think. And we've said this before. This is the only power that Satan has. The only power Satan has is simply the power to plant a thought. That's it. That's what he did to Eve, wasn't it? He did not make her eat the fruit. He didn't pick the fruit. For as I know, he didn't touch the fruit. All he did was plant a thought. How unfair God is. God is so unfair. Out of all these trees you can eat, but there's one you can't eat of them. How unfair is that? Sounds pretty fair to me. I mean, you got a whole garden full of thousands of species you can eat of, but there's one you can't eat of. And God's unfair. Isn't that horrible? Mean old God. And then he said, and if you'll just eat, you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. Only the devil can make evil sound good. But he did. And she got to thinking, well, God must, you know, he's holding out on me here. God's holding out on me. There's things that God don't want me to know. One of the things that gets us in a lot of trouble is we got to know. That instinct is still with us. The inquire. It's about inquiring minds. I got to know. Some stuff I don't even want to know. You know, if you want to know how shallow and why our nation is in so much trouble, I don't recommend it, but if you can't help it, and you're standing in a grocery line and you look up and you see a row of magazines, every one of them, the most of them will be about people. Not ideas. Not wholesome stuff. But it'll be most of them be about Hollywood figures. Why do you even care? What difference does it make? What number husband or wife they're on? Or who they're going out with now. What difference does it make? And yet people spend literally billions of dollars a year reading that garbage. That tells us where we are as a nation. There was a woman that literally bought a wedding dress to sit in her recliner and watch a marriage on TV between two movie stars. And it was a whole... It wasn't even real. They were married to somebody else. But they were getting married, so she goes out and buys a wedding gown and sits there in front of her television and the program, and they're getting married, and she's sitting there with her hanky wiping her eyes. What in the world has happened to people's minds? Amen. Or, boy, I shouldn't go here. Super Bowl's coming up this weekend. Why do I care about how good some guy that can throw a baseball or pass a football or shoot a basketball? What difference does it make? Get a job. A real job. Make something. Do something. Now, the only reason they can do that is the majority of men are nutty over that stuff. I was angry a couple of weeks ago when one of those football, I don't know what he played, who he played for, I don't even know his name. But he said, we're like soldiers. Oh, he shouldn't have made that comparison. There is no comparison. He's not even worthy to shine their boots. He'll whine if they don't up his contract a few million dollars in a couple of years. He's not even worthy. Somebody living out there in a Quonset hut. 110, 120 degree weather defending this nation And he has the audacity to compare himself to one of them. They make less than $20,000 a year. And he has the audacity to compare himself to them. Folks, our imaginations get all carried away. But this is what this all is, imagination. Why do people care so much about that? Whether it's movie stars or rock stars or sports stars. What's it all about? It's about imagination. It's trying to live your life through somebody else's life. You don't have enough glamour, so you try to latch on to their glamour. Amen. You didn't make the team. So you want to live your glory through them. Huh? Imaginations. It's time to cast that stuff down. Time to cast that stuff down. Amen. Praise God. Our thoughts. It's important that we control our thoughts. Amen. There are two kinds of thoughts. There are creative thoughts and destructive thoughts. Godly thoughts and ungodly thoughts. Godly thoughts are creative thoughts. This piano right here, this is a creative thought. Somebody figured, this is a pretty intricate little instrument, and somebody figured this all out right here. Somebody figured this out. This monitor, the computer that operates the monitor. Somebody figured all this out. That's creative thought. And that's positive thought. And that's good thought. But the mind that can think positively can also think negatively. The same computer that can be used for good can be used for evil. The same radio that can be used for good can be used for evil. I don't mention television because it's already been taken captive. It could be used for good, but it so rarely is. But it's not worth your time. Amen. I'm just saying tonight that our thoughts and our thought life, we have to be careful what we feed our thoughts. Because what you feed your thought life is what you become. Amen. Yes, you are. You want to be strong, then you feed your mind strong things. You want to be godly, you feed your mind on godly things. If you feed your mind on ungodly things, you're going to be ungodly. Hello? Is that not true? That's good, Brother Grissom. Whether I like it or not, that's really good stuff. Thank you. Amen. And so our thoughts, it depends, our thoughts are strengthened by what we feed them, just like our bodies. So we need to feed ourselves good things. Brother Neil mentioned our Bible reading. Well, that's a good thing. Amen. If you'll get up every morning, first thing you do is you get your Bible and you do your Bible reading, then you've already set a pattern for your thoughts for the day. Amen. You know what I'm trying to do? I got on my telephone. I thought it was real interesting at General Conference. You know, they said, how many have your Bibles with you? And everybody held up their telephone. Because everybody's got their Bible on their telephone now. I do. Amen. And that's what I read the Bible on. And it's really good because I've commented about the lights in Athens and how I don't like to stop a long time. And it helps me because now I can just punch my phone and I can read a few verses or chapters before the light changes. So it's helping me. Amen. But you feed your thoughts good, godly stuff, and you become a godly person. So it's important. Our weapons, and the Word of God is one of our greatest weapons. Amen. The Bible has a lot to say about itself. Hallelujah. Amen. God expressed Himself through His Word. God's thoughts are expressed through His words. The world and the universe that we live in and the planet that we live in and the things we enjoy, this is the Word of God. It's the spoken Word of God. Creation is the spoken Word of God. Amen. The Bible is the written Word of God. Jesus Christ is God's Word in flesh. When God was expressed in a human body. Praise the Lord. So God has expressed His Word in creation, in the Bible, and in Jesus Christ. That's how we know Him. All of those are expressions of His Word. Amen. The Word of God is life. Jesus said this. He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Amen. God's words are not like everybody else's words. There was a fellow one time that was preaching on the street corner, or trying to preach on the street corner, and he wasn't getting any attention. And all of a sudden he got a little discouraged and he threw his coat down. Amen. And then he got an idea. He started saying, "Whoa! It's alive!" And then he stepped back a few steps. "Oh, it's alive!" And he went over and he looked under his coat and he jumped back and he said, "Oh, it's alive!" People started gathering around thinking, "What in the world?" And he got him a pretty good crowd and he threw his coat up. His Bible was under it. He picked it up and he said, "It's alive!" And he started preaching. Amen. There's life in the Word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible has power. The Word of God has power that works in us. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "The Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The Word of God works effectually. That means energetically, actively. Amen. That's why the Bible is so important, that we put it in us so it can work in us and work on us. It's not like any other book. Have you ever noticed that it's real easy to sit down for an hour or two and read the newspaper? And it's real easy to pick up a novel and you can read it for 2 or 3 hours or a day. It's easy to read. But you pick up your Bible and you start reading. And you've been reading an hour and you look down, it's been 5 minutes. Why is that? Because there's a battle when you read the Bible. There's a spiritual energy that's taking place. Amen. And the devil's saying, "Oh, I've got to get you away from this." So you're trying to read the Bible and your thoughts are going everywhere. "Man, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to go here. I need to go there. I need to do this, do that." All this going on in your head. It doesn't happen when you read something else. Why does it happen when you read the Bible? Why does it happen when you pray? Have you noticed you can talk on the telephone for a long time? And no interference, no battle. But you try to talk to God for a little while, and man, it gets tough because there's a spiritual battle going on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you ever decided, "Well, Lord, I want you to speak to me"? And so you open up your Bible, and wherever it opens, just talk to me. And you open it up and it says, "And so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so." And you're not getting anything out of that. And you're thinking, "Oh, that's not what I wanted, Lord." Amen. Praise the Lord. But God speaks to us through His Word. He does. I'll never forget the first time I read the Bible after I got the Holy Ghost. I was just reading it. And all of a sudden, it's like somebody turned the light on. And I started seeing stuff, understanding things. It was really exciting. Still is. Now, I tell you, I don't really get excited about the begats even yet. But they're there for a reason. I just finished Leviticus. And if you can get through Leviticus, you can finish the rest. Unless you're a lawyer, you're not going to enjoy Leviticus because it's about law. But I'm telling you what, it's what law is based on. It's righteous law. It's good law. Amen. It's the kind of law that we need in the land. Amen. And it would be good to read that and understand that God is serious about stuff. You know, there's a guy in there that cursed his mom and dad. And they took him out and stoned him to death. You know what? God told him to. Boy. Wait till the ALCU reads that. They'll forbid Bibles. Amen. But God's serious about these things. Amen. And it wouldn't have went quite that far in my family, but it'd been pretty rough. If I just said something kind of bad to my mom and dad, I got straightened up real quick. And nobody had to stone me. My dad took care of it. Amen. The word is a light. The Bible said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. God's word, it will give you direction for your life. If you're wanting to know truly what's right, what's wrong, the word and the spirit will work together to tell you. Amen. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will just simply convict you. It will send you a disturbance in your spirit. Your peace is disturbed. And you know, well, this, I probably shouldn't do this because I don't feel right about it. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us into truth. But then the Bible establishes why. Now, the Bible doesn't give us every detail about every sin, but it gives us principles that lead us and guide us. Amen. And so the Bible said it's a light. And then the Word of God is nutrition to us. Peter says it's milk for the babes. Amen. The babies, you know, they got to start out with milk. Amen. So for babies, it's milk. And then Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Amen. He that eateth me shall never thirst and never hunger. So Jesus is bread. And then the scripture talks about the strong meat of the word. Amen. And so the Bible is, it's nutrition. It feeds our spirit. Makes us strong as Christians. And then the Bible is cleansing. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 6, 35, I'm sorry, in John chapter, well, I don't know what chapter, let me find out. 15, verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word. Amen. Psalm 19, 119, verse 9 said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word. Amen. When you're reading the word of God, there's a cleansing process that is going on while you're reading the Word of God. Now that may not make a lot of sense, and you may not can understand that to anybody that has not experienced it, but there's a cleansing that goes on through the Word of God. Cleanses us. Amen. The Word of God gives us victory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Victory comes through the Word of God. Amen. And the Bible said that His Word is a sword. He said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then what Jesus did? I've always thought this very interesting. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, and the Bible said, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, full of the Holy Ghost. Returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's full of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. The Spirit did that. He was full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And what did he use to defeat the devil? The Word of God. Every time the devil said something, he quoted the word of God to him. And finally, after he defeated him, the Bible says in verse number 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He was full when he went in, and he was full when he came out. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So thank God for His Word. It'll keep us strong. It'll give us victory. It'll give us power. Amen. That's the Word of the Lord today. That's one of our weapons. It works. It works. It works. Amen. Praise the Lord. I read or heard of a lady not too long ago. She heard a message on a Sunday night, and the pastor preached about that he would cover with his feathers his people. He would cover them with his feathers and talked about his protection over them. And it was a beautiful message, and it meant a lot to her apparently. So she went to work the next day and thought about that message. And then she was walking home or walking back to her car after she got off work, and she heard some footsteps behind her. So she sped up, and the footsteps sped up. So she started running, and the footsteps started running. She was so frightened. She didn't know what to do, didn't know what to say. And suddenly she stopped, and she whirled around. And there was a man right behind her getting ready to grab her. She looked at him, and all she could think was, "Feathers! Feathers! Feathers! Feathers!" And he turned around and ran like he had seen a ghost. He got out of there. It scared him to death. And all she could say was feathers. I'm telling you, there is power in the word of the Lord. She couldn't even thank Jesus. He would have had a heart attack if she said that. Amen. But all she could say was feathers. I'm serious tonight. There's power in the word of the Lord. You can trust in it. You can believe in it. It'll keep you. Amen. Now let me say, that all said, let me say this. There are people that have died with this on their lips. There were people that went to prison with this on their lips. God didn't always deliver them. Sometimes He let them go to prison. Sometimes He lets them be persecuted. Sometimes He lets them even die. But if you die with this in your heart, and this on your lips, I promise you one thing. You're gonna have a better place when you wake up. It's not a defeat. I said it's not a defeat to die with the Word of God on your lips. It's not a defeat to be imprisoned with the Word of the Lord on your lips. Whatever happens, if you can maintain the power of the Word, it will keep you in any situation that you're in. Amen. We pray for deliverance, and we like to see deliverance. But God doesn't always deliver the way we think He should. Sometimes He lets people go through things that we don't understand. Isn't that right? That's why Paul said, "I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ." He didn't understand why he was in prison. The only thing he figured out was the Lord must have wanted him there. But that was okay with Paul. He had reconciled to that. And he was just as happy serving God in prison as he would have been if he wasn't in prison. Because he understood, this must be the will of God for me for now. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for His name. Thank God for His blood. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and bringing every thought into captivity in obedience of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so important, folks, that we apply this word, not just hear it. It will help us, won't it? It will help us. We all recognize when our thoughts start going astray. And we start thinking about things that we shouldn't think about. We know that, right? Amen. We understand that. But sometimes we still allow that to happen. Amen. And it'll get us in trouble when we do. So bring your thoughts into captivity. Obedience to Jesus Christ. And if we do that, we will live every day in victory. Every day we'll live in victory. Praise God. Victoriously. Because we've just learned some simple principles from the power of the Word of the Lord and how to use our weapons.